Humans ask what God can do for them, but the Spirit causes us to see what God has already done for us. Hello everyone, it's good to be with you steeping in the Word this Friday morning. Today we are in Romans 8, 28 through 30. As we've said before, this is the peak of Scripture. As one person has said, it's the zenith of all thought in Romans, and is what gives us hope to live in a dark world. Romans 8, 28 through 30 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." 8:28 is often taken out of context, so we have to see what he means by this verse. What he doesn't mean is that if you come to God, you get what you want. So when God works together for good for those who love him, he's giving them himself, ultimately. The good that we are looking for is found in Romans 29 through 30. It's not found in a new house, or a happy family, or an easy life, or a good legacy left behind. The legacy of the Christian is verses 29 through 30. For those whom he foreknew, this is the idea of God setting his love on people before the foundation of the world. And we've talked about this before. We see it in Ephesians 1 and in different parts of Colossians. And the plan for the Philippians is to perfect them in the knowledge of the gospel. And it starts before creation. Because God loved people, he predestined them. He planned it that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. God planned the cross so that he might raise up brothers after him, an inheritance with him for his glory. We see this in Acts 2. In Peter's sermon, starting in verse 22, Peter addresses the Jews who are curious about who Jesus is. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." So because he loves these people, he predestines them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And to be conformed to the image of his Son, he knew that he had to send his Son to die on the cross. So those, verse 30, whom he predestined, he also called, because they would not come to him apart from his grace. So he foreknew them, he loved them beforehand. He predestines them to come to his Son, and he calls them to make that happen. And those whom he called, he also justified. He made a way for them to come once he calls. He wraps them in Christ's righteousness. And those whom he has done that to, he justified. He also glorified. He didn't just call them righteous, he made them righteous. And we're waiting for that revelation of our righteousness, which is what Romans 8:22 and 23 are about. We're waiting for the revealing of what he has done for us. So the act of salvation isn't about what God can do for us. It is about what God has done for us. Our sanctification was completed before the foundation of the world and revealed in Christ's work on the cross. Notice that word glorified is past tense. It has already happened. He has already made us new. We are just waiting for the revealing of that. In a world that seems very unsteady and unsure, we need hope and comfort. And that's what Romans 8:28 provides us. Because we know God already has accomplished something for our sake, we know that for those who love God, because he has first loved us, all things work together for good. He turns evil and makes it into good for those who are called according to his purpose. God does not start a project and abandon it. My garage is full of projects that I have not yet finished. I have all sorts of little odds and ends that I need to wrap up. God's not like that. That's what it says in Philippians, I believe it is. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, the day of Christ. Many times our expectations of good, what we think the good is material wealth. It can also be a psychological wellness. And oftentimes, it's an emotional health. We want to be happy all the time. We want to ride the roller coaster of emotion and get the rush of knowing that God loves us. But in the end of Romans here, he's going to bring up all these counterexamples to that kind of expectation. We will suffer just as Christ suffered. Where is the love of God in that? Well, it is working even there, because either the sinner has to die or the Messiah has to die. And Christ died for us, and so now we must learn the discipline that Christ had in giving up our lives for the Father. We see a prototype of this sort of thinking in Genesis. Joseph is the favorite son, the first among many brothers. Echoes here in verse 29. He's not the firstborn, but he's the favorite. And it does seem that he is the wisest. He's receiving visions from God. And whether or not you think he's bragging about that, the prophet's words have to be spoken to be remembered. And so as Joseph says, you will all bow down to me, he is setting up the rest of the story. He's preparing for them to remember years down the road what they have done to him. And so Joseph is this figure of Christ in the Old Testament, and he's cast down into a pit. His brothers throw him into a pit because they are jealous of his love for the Father and from the Father. So they throw him into a pit, and then they sell him down into Egypt. And he's raised up by God and then cast down again into jail. He suffered terribly. He was accused of evil things, but therefore the good of his entire people. Through all his trials, not only was he elevated to the position of virtual Pharaoh, king of the land, but he was also able to rescue his family from a famine that they surely would have perished in. And I believe we've talked about this before. We are in the land of Goshen. So Joseph rescues his family out of the promised land, pulls them down into Egypt, which is the land of idolatry, but they're given the best land of Egypt to live in, the land of Goshen. And it's where they have lots of room to grow, and it's where they multiply and become God's nation of many people that was promised Abraham. So God fulfills his promise to Abraham through the evil nation of Egypt. But it's still not the promised land yet. We are living in that land. We have been conformed to the image of his son, and we have been made many brothers in his likeness, and yet we're still waiting for the promised land. But God knows what he's doing. He did call us, and so he has justified us, and he has glorified us. We're just waiting for that revelation of glory, the vindication of his people. I've had the phrase from a Gordon Lightfoot song stuck in my head. He says, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the gales of November come early? It's about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, right? The question is, why did God let that ship sink and let all those people die? They were normal people. Well, the answer is the love of God was right there. Even though we face death because of our sin, God does not leave us and abandon us to death. He raises us up. That's what it said in Acts there. He allowed evil men to kill his son because it was part of his plan, and he rose again, bringing many sons to glory. So not only do we have a future hope in Christ, the future hope is based on an accomplished action 2,000 years ago. And that accomplished action was the plan of God for all time. The waves toss us around in this world, but we know that we have a sure and steady anchor in Christ, because it is the plan of God to save a people who are undeserving of grace. and God works all things together for good for His purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your power in this world. Thank you for promising us that you will reveal that power. Help us to live faithfully in light of that, knowing that you know what you're doing. Let us rest and know that you are God. Amen.